This morning's reading is taken from John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. And it's on the screen behind me. John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." He said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are the writings that you may believe, that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Getting myself sorted. Thanks, Dave, for reading. Good morning to everyone. Happy Easter to you all. It's good to be here this morning as we meet to celebrate the truly remarkable events that are written in the Bible about Jesus being killed by being nailed to a cross and then coming back to life again. Well, you might think that Christmas is a special day, but for Christians, Easter trumps Christmas, because that's when we remember Jesus being killed for our sins and defeating death. It's because of Easter we know that we're forgiven and we have something to look forward to when our time on this earth is ended. So to use a footballing analogy, if Christmas is like England qualifying for the World Cup, but Easter is like England winning the World Cup. Okay, you've got to use your imaginations a bit, but I'm sure you can get there. Well, it's popular on TV now when you're watching a series to have a summary of what happened last time, a quick recap. And we've had some eyewitness accounts of some of the events of Easter before. But we're going to try and go through now very quickly a summary of how we got to the part of the Bible that we read today. So, Jesus, God's Son, was born on earth as a man and was travelling around with a group of friends he called his disciples and doing unbelievable things like making sick people well and telling people about God. Well, he decides it's time to head to the big city, to go to Jerusalem, and he arrives on a donkey and the crowds welcome him by waving palm leaves. If you were here last Sunday, then we were talking about that. But the religious leaders in the city, they didn't like what he was doing. So they arranged to have him arrested, making up stories about what he was doing. And Jesus knew he was going to die. So he had a special last meal with his friends, the people called the disciples. And then after that meal, Jesus went to pray, but he's betrayed by one of his friends and he's arrested and led away by the soldiers and religious leaders. And then what happens next is Jesus is put on trial in front of Pontius Pilate, and this guy really dodges his responsibility and he gets the crowds to condemn Jesus to death. And then Jesus is killed by soldiers who nail him onto a cross and he dies. And they stick a spear in him to make sure the job's been properly done. And Jesus' body is put into a tomb and a big boulder is rolled in front of the tomb. But when Jesus' friends come to visit the tomb, the boulder's been rolled away. And Jesus' body is gone. And Mary saw an angel who tells her that Jesus, who was dead, is now alive again. And he appears first to Mary, who then goes off and tells his other friends, the disciples. And that's where our reading started today, really. We read that Jesus' friends are frightened. They're scared because they've seen Jesus arrested and taken away and killed. And they're hiding together in this room, locked away behind a locked door. And they were probably talking about the news that Mary had brought and trying to decide whether they could believe that or not. And then an amazing thing happens. And Jesus appears in front of them. And all Jesus' best friends can see that it's really him. And they can see the marks of his death on his hands and feet, and he's standing there in front of them, large as life. It's really amazing. And I would say that this is the most important thing that happens in the whole of human history. You see, everyone else that's ever lived has died, and that's been the end of them. And we ourselves, we hope to have long and happy lives. But our lives will come to an end as well. What Jesus does is shows that death is not the end. And the new life he offers us today, he offers to all who want to follow him. Death does not have to be the end. That surely is the most important thing that's ever happened. Well, you might agree that it is. You might believe that this is all true and this happened. And that's really surely why many of us are here today, isn't it? Because we believe that this is true and we want to celebrate it. And this means that when our lives on earth end, we can join Jesus in a new life where there's no unhappiness and there's no suffering. So if that's you, then you're like Jesus' disciples, aren't you? Like his friends that we've read about in verses 19 and 20. And you're filled with joy because Jesus has defeated death and he's alive again. And he offers us that new life. And this is why Easter is celebrated. It's great to have the chocolate eggs. I'm sure Mike will be tucking in later. It's great to have Easter meals with families, isn't it? And maybe we can, within the restrictions, we can get to see some people we love again over Easter. It's great to have that family time. Easter's really good. But this is the reason why we celebrate. This is why we meet. Well, maybe you don't feel like this. And perhaps you identify more with Thomas, who we read about in verse 24. Now, Thomas wasn't with the disciples in the locked room when Jesus appeared to them. Perhaps he'd gone out to get the pizza, or perhaps he was putting the bins out. Strange how that always happens to be one person's job, isn't it? Well, whatever the reason, he wasn't there. And when he gets back, they tell him they've seen Jesus and he's alive again. But Thomas missed it. Well, there are two things that you might relate to in the response that we've read about from Thomas today. Well, firstly, he doesn't believe them. He didn't see it. He doesn't believe them. And maybe today, this is how you feel about the Easter story. I didn't see it. I don't believe it. Well, the second thing we notice about Thomas is that he is prepared to believe if it can be proven to him. Well, perhaps that's how you feel as well. I am prepared to believe, but I want some proof. Thomas wanted to see Jesus alive for himself and to check out the wounds he got when he got killed. Well, in the next part of the Bible reading that we had, verses 26 to 28, we read that Thomas got his proof. Jesus appeared to his friends a second time, and Thomas was with them this time. He saw Jesus alive in front of him, and that was proof enough. He didn't need to see the wounds and put his hands in them. Thomas got the proof he was looking for, and he believed. And Jesus speaks to him in verse 29, and he says that those who have not seen him and yet still believe are even more blessed. Well, that's us if we believe, isn't it? Well, you might have the same doubts as Thomas. You haven't seen the proof. Well, what proof do you want that these things really happened? The writer of this part of the Bible said in the last two verses of the chapter that Jesus did many, many miraculous things that he's not written about, but he selected some and offered them as evidence that we might believe that these things happened. And written evidence is proof. Written evidence from eyewitnesses is proof enough for most people to believe things. I wasn't at Pride Park the other night when Derby County beat Luton 2-0. But I've read the match report and I believe that happened. That did happen, didn't it, Dave? Yeah, it did happen. Yeah, Chris, that's right. You saw it as well. Some of you might have been around during the Second World War. I wasn't. But it did happen, didn't it? Perhaps you weren't around when the Spanish Armada was defeated. When Harold was killed at the Battle of Hastings. When Julius Caesar's forces invaded England. But we've read about these things, haven't we? Ancient writings from eyewitnesses support these accounts of history, as they support what it says in the Bible. What evidence are you looking for? And do you have the desire to look? Christianity began with the events that we've just heard about. And with the most unlikely collection of friends that Jesus put together. They were hiding in a room, but they had the courage to go out and tell people what they'd seen and what they'd heard about. And they wrote it down. And for many of them, having that courage to say those things led to their death. Well, if you want to find out more, then maybe you'll come back and see us week by week as we try and find out more about Jesus. Well, finally, it's possible that you don't believe what you've heard, and there is no level of proof that will convince you. I don't know if you've heard, there are some people called flat earthers. I hope there are none here today. So these people, flat earthers, they're convinced that the world is flat, and no proof will convince them otherwise. Well, we know that we can look at the stars in the night sky, and you can look at them with a telescope, and you can see that they're round. We've had numerous space missions that have sent back pictures of our planet, and we can see that it's round. We've got satellites in orbit, we've got the space station that goes round the planet, and you can track it across the sky. There's an app that allows you to see where it is, and it sends back pictures of our round world. But that's not enough for some people to believe. You see, they're so invested in this version of the truth, that the earth is really flat, that no evidence will convince them. Are you prepared to consider the evidence about Jesus' death and Jesus' life? The American philosopher who was an atheist, Thomas Nagel, he wrote this. He said, I want atheism, which is not believing in God, I want atheism to be true. And I am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't just that I don't believe in God, and naturally I hope that I'm right in that belief. It's that I hope there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want a universe like that. Is that how you feel? Well, can I ask you to rethink? You might want a world where you are in control and not God. And that's your right. You can choose to have that. God gives us free will. But the end of that journey, that life of avoiding God and making your own way, is still the same. That life will still end. Regardless of the choices you make, there's only one choice that gives us a hope of a life after this, the struggles on this earth. And that choice is to recognize the evidence that Jesus lived, and he died, and he lived again. He was resurrected. Investigate it for yourselves. Perhaps you could make a start on the way out by picking up a copy of the booklet by the door that's called Two Ways to Live. And you can come back and see us again and join us as we try to learn more about Jesus. But please start your investigations and don't be like the flat earthers who are so convinced that no proof will change their minds. Let's pray. May the Spirit of truth lead you into all truth and give you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and strengthen you to proclaim the word and the works of God. Amen.